Rejoice in the house. We worship you, O strong God. We give you glory. We thank you. We thank you. For therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and shall come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall proclaim gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. We rejoice in thy goodness. We rejoice in thy tender mercies and kindness. We proclaim Hosanna unto the King of all kings. We make mention of your name in thy holy temple. For out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength. We look up to the hills, from whence cometh our help. For our help cometh from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. One more time, rejoice in his presence and give him glory. We give you glory. We give you glory. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Now, if you have been a witness to a time where the sun is about to rise, many things there be that may lock in darkness, but when the first rays of light begins to shred the covering of darkness, it's as if there's a war in the heavens. Darkness seeks to overstay its time of dominion when light begins to intervene. It is a battle that makes no sound, but the effect is such that everyone that is vigilant can behold it. I announce to you, the sun rises. The sun rises. The sun rises. The Bible says, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the people that do know their God shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. It doesn't arise at any time, but at the appointed time, Zion is to be shown mercy of the Lord. And that's why the psalmist prayed. He said, and thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, the set time is come. Rejoice in Zion, for thy comforter cometh. They that are for you are more than they that are against you. God is about to rise, and healing will come from his wings. We give you praise, O God. We give you glory. We give you glory. We give you glory. Give him praise and glory.
Sun until the going down of the sea, the name of the great God must be praised. Let everything that has breath, let the crow, let the cock, let the serpent give him praise. We worship you, O God. We give you glory. We thank you for the privilege to stand in the congregation of the righteous and to extol thy glorious majesty. We say, Lord, be thou glorified. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. I beheld the feet of someone that is in confusion, standing in the midst of crossroads, and such a one has been praying and seeking the face of God for direction.
And the Lord speaks to me concerning him. He says, I don't know whether it's a him or her. He says that I will lead you in a way that is not your way. I will lead you along paths which is not consistent with your plans. I will cause your eyes to behold things that you have not known, things that you have not learned. I will cause you to have experiences that will shape your heart further for the assignment that I have for you. He said, do not be weary in patience, for in it my strength shall be perfected in you. He said, do not be weary in patience, for in it my hidden glory that is locked up on your inside will break forth. For I will lead you, I will lead you, I will lead you, saith the Spirit of God. I behold the sun. The sun is rising in his strength. He said, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. For behold, I do a new thing, and it shall spring forth. He said, behold, I do a new thing, and it shall spring forth. For by my mighty authority, I change times and I change seasons. And in this season, I have decided to call you, that I might show you my strength and my might and my faithfulness. I have called you. He said, remember ye not, for the former things upon which your mind has been placed is resisting the fullness of my favor on your life. He said, remember ye not the former things, neither consider thou the things of old. For I will do a new thing, and it shall spring forth. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one shall become a strong nation. Thank you, Lord. I don't know. You see, it's very difficult to be in a service like this. So many things are happening in the heavens. I want to ask you to pray. Anywhere you are seated or standing, it's time to pray. Mount up with wings as the eagles. God will take us to a place that is enlarged. He will take you through the corridors to an enlarged place. A place where you will eat bread without scarceness. A place where your joy will know no bounds. He taketh us to a large place. It's time to mount up. It's time to mount up with wings. Shiboboria mama la kade boboria. Si mama la kante bobori malada.
your prayer. We give you glory. Thank you, Lord. Keep in step with your spirit, that we might indeed mount up with wings like the eagles. We do not want to make the mistakes we made in times past, but we come to cut covenant with you, that you will stabilize our feet and establish our goals. We need your help, O great one. Come among us with your strength and your mind, and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. If you can, you may be seated. You can give your neighbor a new year welcome and acknowledge the brand of the tie, the look. My God. Hallelujah. Acknowledge. Amen. You are welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, I said you should acknowledge the person by your side, because when we mount up, you will forget that there's somebody. So please do it well. Oh, your hairdo is great. Oh my God. Jesus. Something. Hallelujah. We are going to kickstart this evening on a journey. And our focus for the year, we are preaching under the theme. That's our focus for the year, the template of apostolic Christianity. We want to look at Christianity again. What is Christianity? What was the vision
that Jesus had in his heart when he came down from heaven to walk among us like a mortal man. Because so much of that is being misrepresented today, and so much of the emphasis that we have sustained in the house of God has been found not to be consistent with the original witness of the first fathers. And on the path towards tracing our heritage in God, it is needful for us to pay attention to the witness of the first fathers, so that we can understand the scope and the content of their convictions and burdens. We must understand the things that they lived for, so that we can know precisely what they were willing to die for. And if these factors are not in their proper places, we are guilty of subscribing to religion. And there's one thing about religion, it gives a false sense of satisfaction. But it's not consistent with the biblical truth of the Word of God. And as such, the Spirit of God will not furnish it, because the Spirit of God cannot operate outside of the letters, outside of the logo. And so it's needful for us to sit down diligently and find out the original witness and the original shape of things. Because from mid last year, I saw the invasion that came on the body of Christ from the pit of hell. So many lying visions and fake doctrines that have taken root in the heart of men, which is actually a deviation from the central thought of the economy of God. And because of that, we want to dedicate 12 months in this year to rediscovering and realigning with the spirit of Christianity. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. That's what we want to do. And as we advance, we'll do a lot of teaching this year. As we advance, you come to discover what Christianity is from the pages of the Bible, not my opinion. My opinion is not authoritative enough for you to run with. So I'll keep my opinion behind, and we'll look upon the pages of the book, trusting the Holy Spirit to grant us illumination. That's how our journey is going to be like. If you are still here, say amen.
Amen.
And then you will discover many things that we have believed that is not in scripture. And then you'll be able to understand why you grew to a level and your Christian life was pegged at that level. It was because you deviated from being a Christian and you became a legalist and a religious personality. So, and if you are up to that, you came out of grace and you came into law. And every time you come out of grace and come into law, the insufficiencies of your humanity begins to play out. And then you are going to find impossibilities, difficulties, and hindrances. But if we operate by the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus, the grace of God is so abundantly available to us, and we'll do the supernatural things naturally, and we'll do natural things supernaturally. Hallelujah. We'll begin our journey from the book of Job, chapter 28, as we commence a spiritual process on this day of January. We'll use 2 days to do the teaching, and then we'll use 1 day to do the practical. Alright? Teach for 2 days, then we do practical for one day. If we say Jesus heals for 2 days, we should be able to prove it on the third day. If it's not verifiable, it means it is not life applicable. The spirit that did it in Jesus is still available today. You know, a preacher can come and even deny that Jesus does not heal now anymore, because the power of God died with the apostles. And you can believe it, and you'll be shortchanged by that ignorance. And that's what the devil wants. He doesn't want the people of God to attain to their full potential in Christ. And that's why we are here. Because the people must attain to their full potential in Christ, irrespective of what any preacher believes. Are you still with me? You know, you must have realized we are not a church. So we don't have a pet doctrine. Maybe we'll say prosperity church. No, we go Bible. So that the average Christian can have the opportunity to know Jesus personally. Because he's been cut off from the schedule of things these days. We use his name as a prayer conjunction. When you want to prophesy, you now make a declaration and add his name. That's when he features. But if you have ever studied the Bible accurately, the entire scripture speaks about the eternal Christ. If you don't see the Christ in the scripture, you don't read it. Or maybe you have not read it by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Job chapter 28 verse 7. There is a part which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eyes hath not seen. The lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. He putteth forth his hand upon the rock. He overturneth the mountains by the roots. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks, and his eyes seeth every precious thing. He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. Hallelujah. It says there is a part which no fowl knoweth. Say the vulture's eyes have not seen it. The lion's whelps have not trodden it. The fierce lions have not passed by it. If you take an inventory of the creatures mentioned here that do not have access to the part, you will find creatures that are detailed and diligent, like the fowl. If you cast as much as a grain of rice to the ground in the midst of rubble, if the fowl is really determined, he has the tools, the working tools. You know, the feet is like a rake. He can isolate every other thing that is not the grain and reveal it. But the Bible says that this part, the fowl, in his diligent activity of raking things out of the way to discover hidden things, he has not by any means stumbled upon this path. Now the Bible reveals that the vulture's eyes have not looked upon it. You see, the advantage of the vulture as a scavenger is that it is height advantage. It leaps up the ground and it stabilizes itself in a dovetail kind of flight mode. And he views. Now, so he has height advantage, oversight is part of his advantage. And the Bible says that the vulture's eyes have by no means beheld that part. Didn't stop there. It says the lion's whelps. You know, you see, when lions give birth and the cubs come to hunting age, they are taught how to hunt by the lioness. And one of the first things that they get to learn is the ability to stay within range with other hunting cubs. Now, if you go outside of range for too long, you are in danger. That's number one. Number two, they are also taught how to discover the secret parts of the pride land. Because when lions invade a particular place, they cut out a region. You know, the lion, you can see his pride in his activity. Cuts out a region and goes and urinates round it, demarcating that region as an exclusive region for the king lion. The king lion can have many lionesses around, but he's in charge. Jesus. Sometimes he just strolls around just to make other animals know that I'm still here. The Bible makes us to understand that. So when the cubs go to hunt, they hunt under in the name of their father, and they can enter into every part of the jungle because they are not big enough. in their searching, the Bible reveals that by no means have they stumbled upon this path. Once and again, the lion has the attitude of increasing his perimeter so that his enclave is enlarged. Through such enlargement, he wanders into deep aspects of the territory. And the Bible reveals that even the fierce lions have never passed by this path. Now, the truth of the matter is this: given these four creatures that have the capacity to search for food, we can conclude at that point, or at this point, that the part of which the Bible speaks is not natural. There is a part which no fowl knoweth, the vulture's eyes have not seen, the lion's webs have not trodden it, and the fierce lions have not passed by it. That part is a spiritual part. And that's the part that is unveiled in the book of Romans. That's what the entire book of Romans is about, the part of spiritual progress. So as we study this weekend, the scope of our study is the discovery of the part of spiritual progress. Now, when somebody gives his life to Christ, what are the things that should find expression? What are the things the person should expect? In order for the person to be delivered from the invitations of the enemy to embrace religion and to stay clear on the path of spiritual progress towards advancement and towards perfection in Christ Jesus, you will notice that when Paul hears about churches that embrace Christ and are sold out to serve his will, he acknowledges that their salvation was genuine, and he goes there to encourage them, giving them some apostolic tips. Why does he do that? Why? He does that because he's aware of the fact that it's possible for religious people to come and subscribe a pathway that is not consistent with what? The path of spiritual progress. And those guys will be derailed and will be walking a path wherein they cannot gain Christ. And that path will lead them to a place where they will never be able to attain to maturity and never be able to discharge their destiny in Jesus. And so the leading apostles of those days, whenever they heard that there's a revival somewhere, they shut down their itinerary and they move over to that place so that they can bring discernment to the people as to how to keep pace with what? The path of spiritual progress. Because the devil will send people that will come and sow seeds that will ensure that you never find that path. Even if you were a fowl, you will not find that path. There is only one way to access that path. I've seen so many Christians, 20 years old in the Lord, but when you look upon them, you know they have lost the path in the last 15 years. I heard of a great preacher. All he has to speak about is 24 years time, 24 years ago when he raised the dead. Obviously, at that time, he was on a path, but he never knew when he veered off. And with the increase in the kind of preaching and teaching that majors in the minors in our time, if something drastic doesn't happen to the Church of Jesus in Nigeria, we are going to suffer a great loss, especially at this point where the powers of Islam seek to encroach the entire territory. We need to understand what Jesus called us into. Meanwhile, I need you to understand that Christianity is not a religion. Now, so the apostles did that in order to ensure that the people of God remain steady on the path of spiritual progress. According to my own Bible study, any feeble Christian that remains on the path of spiritual progress and is consistent should be ready to be released into ministry after 3.5 years. That was Jesus' curriculum. Charlatans and fishermen after 3.5 years of being on the path of spiritual progress, took cities, rattled the foundation of nations, took control of the dominion of the territory from Caesar. The power of the sword was not able to quench and to discomfit their faith. There was something deeper than the fear of death that propelled them. And I'm talking about common fishermen that Jesus harvested from different places. But by the time John was speaking in the book of 1 John chapter 1, he said, that which was from the beginning, which we have seen, we have handled, and we have touched. What he was a fisherman still talking? He was on a path. And at that point on the path, he was speaking kingdom things like a son, a joint heir with Christ in the kingdom of God. Because it happens to be that the kingdom to which we subscribe is not a kingdom of kings and subjects. It's a kingdom of kings and kings. So what John was saying, he was speaking like a king. He had entered into some dimensions of our heritage in Christ Jesus. He was not talking about something he learned, he picked up from Bible school or from Sunday school. He said, that which we touch, that which we look upon, that which we handle, those are the things that I testify about. I touched it. He said, eternal life that resided with God in eternity past, we saw eternal life manifested and we are witnesses of his reality. That's why we call you to fellowship. That was not a fisherman talking, it was a joint heir talking. Because the things that he was talking about were secrets in the kingdom of God. And only partakers can talk that way. Because he has touched the things. He was speaking from the point of originality. He was not working on duplicates.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
It is good to preach and say, so man of God said this. But if that's all you have in your archive, making references to people, you are not a Christian. I need to show you. Oh my. There is a self-acclaimed prophet in Lagos that claims to be a senior prophet, and many people being gullible, not having discernment in scripture and in spirit, have accepted his declaration as of himself being a prophet. Check that man when he speaks. He will never say, and Jesus told me this. I was praying and I had this encounter. And God, the definition of a prophet in the Bible, is not just one that speaks for God. Everyone with the gift of prophecy can speak for God. God borrows your vocal cord in the operation of the gift of prophecy for you to speak for him. That's not a proof that you are a prophet. The proof that you are a prophet is that God will reveal himself to you. If he does not reveal himself to you, you are not... Stop it. Stop. You are causing trouble. He has never said that before. Because you cannot be a joint heir and not have revelation of God. You can fake anything. You cannot fake Christianity. No matter how you talk, you are Polish. You learned English in France. It doesn't change anything. If you have not encountered him, you cannot say what John said, that which was from the beginning. This is not Bible school stuff. This is encounter with an eternal spirit that is a teaching unction. When you encounter him, he opens the pavilion of the spirit realm and begins to educate you as to how that realm functions. Yes. After the education, he makes you a partaker of the things in that realm. That's why a fisherman could say, that which I have with God, he says, silver and gold we do not have. Our financial condition has not changed ever since. But such as we have, it means he had something with God. Oh yeah. Yes, the school fees have not been paid, but such as we have. Because you believe all you have is physical. And if there's no physical thing to run back to, you have nothing. The guy knew his financial condition. But he said, irrespective of it, I have something with God. That's not Bible school talk. That's not Sunday school talk. That is the speaking of a joint heir. You know, in the working of that miracle, he didn't say, let's trust God. He said, no. look on us. See? Man tebo kosina. Look on us. Christianity is failing in Makurdi. Because Christians are running with duplicates that they don't have access to the eternal matter. That eternal matter that spoke to the prophets. That eternal spirit that was the substance that carried holy men in spirit transport. So that they could see things and touch things and bear witness of things that do not appear in time and space. And so the enemy encroaches because our corporate spiritual energy that is generated in this land is not strong enough to keep the enemy at bay. We have embraced and romanced religion for too long. Now let us find out the original path that the apostles walk. And what could change a common fisherman to become one that speaks about a kingdom that is not visible in flesh and blood? If you are still here, say amen.
Amen.
Now we need to do a rundown of the book of Romans, because that's the scope of our study. A rundown. I found out that if we will make any progress at all, you know, we need to calm down and start teaching it again. We are preached for No, let's calm down. Some people woke up the other day and somebody said he went to hell. He died. And he came up with a vision. No, that's not the way of the gospel.
Yes, sir.
God does not take people to the land of the dead to come and preach to the living. Because Jesus said they have Moses and the prophets. That's not the way. I know you saw something, but it wasn't God that showed you that thing. And that is why the scriptures contradict it. It doesn't matter how sanctimonious and pious and sacramental you make it look. So that everybody, hey! No. People that have seen Jesus before, they know when he speaks.
Yes, sir.
That was not one of his speakings. Sorry. I know you feel bad, but I decide to believe what I can verify in the scripture. You see, your own spiritual journey has not been as long as mine. I've done religious things before. I did all of that and I was empty of God. So I now say, God, I know you appeared to Moses. You were real to him. You are not real to me. What's the problem? Then I discover I'd missed a part of spiritual progress and embrace religion. I've come out of grace and now I'm functioning by law. And all the insufficiencies of my humanity have shown up again. Are you with me? Now let's trust the navigator to help us. The Holy Ghost. Simple Bible study. Number one, just running down the book of Romans. When we get to the point of emphasis, we'll stop there and begin to pick the scriptures. Now, the book of Romans, in introduction, is a book that speaks about the content and the context of the gospel of God. The gospel of God is a message that God preached through the prophets in times of old. Because if you read the book of Romans chapter 1, you will see how that the prophets actually gave voice to this gospel of God, whose content is captured in the book of Romans and articulated quite vividly. So from the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 1 to 17, we see the introduction of the gospel of God. I don't have time to tell us the content of the gospel of God in this particular meeting, but we'll do that subsequently. The second segment of the book of Romans is the condemnation that is upon all men. And that starts from Romans 1:18 to Romans 3:20. The third segment of the book of Romans speaks about the power and the reality of justification, which is from Romans chapter 3 verse 21 to Romans chapter 5 verse 11. All right? Now the next segment talks about our identification with Christ. That's where the path of spiritual progress begins. You get my... Are you with me? The next point, which is the fourth step, talks about our identification with Christ. That's where the path of spiritual progress begins. I need to show you something. You know, I'm not in a hurry today because we need to teach well. As prophetic as the birth of Jesus Christ is, it has nothing to do directly with your redemption. Have you thought about that? Have you thought about that? His birth was prophetic, but there is no direct connection of his birth with anything in your life. Where the connection began from is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's a high point of his operation. It is on the basis of those three things that we are included with him. So when the story of a Christian is told, his life and everything he has lived prior to the time of his salvation is backdated to the cross. So the point of inclusion with Christ, are you with me? Our point of inclusion with Christ is the cross. Because the cross is the point of inclusion and is the point of substitution. God, by an act of his authority, included us in Christ while he was on the cross. That is for those of us who that have given our life to Christ. And the reason why God had to include us with Christ was because God's estimation of the old creation was that the old creation could not serve the purpose of God. And everything that was of the old creation will have to be subject to the death test. So God cannot modify the old creation. He cannot upgrade the old creation. Everything that is part and parcel of that creation comes under the judgment of death because of the cross. Because the cross has one voice. The cross only speaks death as its pronouncement of judgment on the old creation. Just in case somebody is here that is confused as to what the old creation is, I can take you aback and give you a little insight. Are you with me? You are here. Now, in the book of Genesis, man declared independence because God wanted man to be a creature that was created in the image of God. That is, for kangaroo can be created after its own image. But the design pattern for man was that man was to be created, was to be a being that will function after the image of another. So the creation of man is not accomplished according to God's specification if the product that results is not a being that sustains the image of God. And what I mean by the image of God is the perspective of God and the way God does his own stuff. Are you with me? There is a way man functions, and there is a way God functions. And God's idea for man is that man will be a being that functions the way God functions. Because he thinks the way God thinks. He understands the principles of God. He functions in the way of God. That is man's calling. That is man's ordination by destiny. Are you still with me? Alright. Now, God created man. The aspect of man that God created was immaterial, which is his spirit part. God formed man. The aspect of man that God formed, according to the book of Genesis chapter 2, is the physical part. For he formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. The implication of that statement is that man became sustained consciousness in his soul. So the most conscious aspect of man was his soul. Now I need to explain to us what the implication of that is, because what we'll be doing, the book of Romans borders so much upon it. If you are still here, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, we don't need to hurry today. Bible study is no longer popular. So let's take it easy. In the name of Jesus. Now, this was what happened. Man, according to Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says he became a living soul, conscious in his soul. And so if he wants to take a decision, it's the awareness that comes from his soul that he uses at the basis of evaluation and the basis of decision making. Are you still with me? For instance, when he wanted to make the choice of whether or not to eat of the tree of life, if you check his consultation processes, he came and said that the fruit was good for food, that is analytical. Because his consciousness is where? So. It was pleasant to the eyes, still analytical. Because his consciousness was where? It was desire to make one wise, still analytical. Because his consciousness was where? That was where he was operating from. His soul became the strongest point of his consciousness. Now, that being that has the strongest point of his consciousness in his soul is not man by God's design. Now, at that point in the creation process, Adam was man in the image of man. So man in the image of man has his strongest consciousness in his soul. And what the consciousness in the soul does is that it gives you consciousness of you. Did you get that? Hallelujah. But you see, if man had been in the image of God, he would have had to eat of the tree of life. And the implication of eating of the tree of life is that the Spirit of God would have tabernacled from henceforth in his spirit, providing a different line of consciousness. And the consciousness that he would have had if he had eaten of the tree of life was that he would have been a being that is conscious of the realm of God. Notice that Jesus said that if a man be born again, he will have the capacity to perceive the kingdom of God. That means a new consciousness is born. And the proof of life is consciousness. And so the Adam in the Garden of Eden that took that tree, that fruit and ate, was the Adam that was man in the image of man. God wanted him to choose which line of development he wanted in his existence. If he wanted his spirit life to develop, or if he wanted his soulish human life to develop. Now, on the strength of his choice, he chose that his soulish life should be the line of development. That means his destiny and the result of such a choice is something different from what God originally intended. Are you with me? Are you here? Now, his destination, his end point, on the strength of his choice of that line of development, was going to be different from what God intended. He was not that man that was consistent with the design of God. He was going to be a different creature that was not consistent with God's design. And that different creature did not have the capacity to fulfill God's will and God's purpose, and could not by any means attain to God's end. So by that choice, Adam decided the lines of development that he will experience. And that choice was inconsistent with the perspective of God. That was the day that Adam declared independence. Meaning that with the faculties of the soul that are developed, he can take decisions for himself. He can do what he wants. He's conscious of himself. Meanwhile, if he were in the image of God, he would have been conscious of God. Conscious of the ways of God. And that consciousness was going to rule his entire being and pedestal him as a creature, a being that can access the dimensions of God in the heavens and bring that template into manifestation upon the face of the earth. But since Adam chose a different line of development, he was going to live therefore, or thereby he will live from the soul. And that's a diminished state of existence compared to what God was offering us. Are you still here? Now it's needful for us to understand this path. Now we have given our lives to Christ. And because we have given our lives to Christ now, The consciousness of spirit things has come through the Spirit of God that is in your spirit. But we have a challenge. The challenge is that your dependence on the soul for as many years as you live before you give your life to Christ is going to obstruct the perspective of this new consciousness. Hence, the part of the spiritual progress they place, a part that the fowl does not know because it's clustered and combined. Hence, the part of spiritual progress is a place that the vulture's eyes have not seen because it is shelved in by an oversized soul that you are so used to living by. It is difficult to access and to function from that part consistently. And that's why even the pastor knows. So he decides to reduce his scope of teaching to what will embolden the soul, so that the people will be comfortable with his message. Because he knows that if he's going to preach in such a way as to bring people into the path of spiritual progress, it's going to be quite some challenge for them. They'll have to make decisions. They have to come to that point where Christ becomes the center and the circumference of their being. And that's a radical decision to make. And he knows that the average Christian that has not seen the glory and the excellency of the knowledge and the personality of Christ will not want to embark on such a journey. So he's likely to lose members, lose involved participation. So he now changes his posture. Let's give him hope. You are blessed. I didn't hear. Oh my. Yeah. I know I'm home by myself. Now, calm down. When God promised Abraham a son, how many years did it take for the son to find expression? Because the path of spiritual progress is crowded. How many times did he make mistakes? He went into his maid, produced some strange children that are a burden to us even at this time. Why? Because the path of spiritual progress, you cannot locate it, even if you make a deliberate intention to locate. The pride of the lion doesn't give him access to that part. So your pride and the exertion of your will by no means reveal that part. It's a part that you cannot study into. You cannot be taught about. It's a part that must be revealed to you. Now, somebody studied the Bible from back to back about 5 times and felt he had known God. You came in contact with death. Because this part, you can't study into it. There's no human effort that you can embark upon. It only takes the transport that is initiated by the Spirit of God to bring you into that path. And that's why the Bible says, holy men of old, they speak. It's a prophecy. Doesn't have its origin with man. Prophecy is not a product of the will of man. It's not as if the prophets of old decided to come and say, does yet? No. It's far beyond that. More holy than that. It's a holy men of old came under the influence of the transport of the Holy Ghost. It was on the strength of that utterance was granted them. You cannot just shake and then prophesy. No. You can't locate that part because you are a lion. Your will is weak to launching you into that pathway. And that's what the Bible says, no fowl. Know it. It's easier for a pastor to call a congregation of 5,000 and say it's time for breakthrough. So easy. Especially, he's not contradicting the word of God. The God speaks about increasing you, multiplying you too. But we need to understand, when God administered those his counsels in the life of mortal men as examples, he took a part. But we don't like that. The pastor is in a better position to ignore that there is a part. Promise him a child, it took 25 years before the child came. Why did it take so long? And meanwhile, before the 25 years, he had produced some children that were not part of the prophecy. Because every time he exerted his will, he produced something else. But the part was still there. It doesn't matter how many years of religion you do. Those days, we used to wear short trousers that were suspended. Holy, holy, holy. We talk by that by exerting ourselves, you'll find the path. Lions have been denied access. Mm. So the average Christian in Makurdi doesn't know God. He's just carrying a face and he's just carrying in the motion. I don't need to speak about Lagos, because Lagos, we need an archangel to defend that land now. The average man has embraced religion and he thought that was the witness that was born by our first fathers. There is darkness in the land and I need you to see it. In Lagos, if we want to move from one bus stop to the next bus stop, somebody stands up to preach. He say, if you wear trouser, hair, you do this. Hair. Now, who taught these people? That is not an evangelical message. An evangelical message is the example that Peter gave us on the day of Pentecost. He's presenting Christ. The whole message, we don't see Christ. Who taught them? And the guy believes that because his preaching is sanctimonious and pious, that he's on the rock. That's a delusion. Jesus must return to the altar. There is a part. He said, the vulture's eyes are. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. So Adam declared independence. Instead of him to function by the divine life, he began to function by the life of the soul. Now, you see, sorry, I had to bother you with Greek now. Because the English language was weak in communicating the reality of these things. The English language is weak in communicating these things. So people that just took it at face value formulated doctrines that are not accurate. And many people are running with it. In fact, so many people are running with doctrines that are not accurate because they took scriptures at face value and did not query the original language from whence the translation was done. And because they have written volumes in the archives of their libraries, shame will not allow them to go back and say, hey, all these things. So if you are waiting for somebody to repent and change what he has taught that has made you a religious personality, you will never come up. So we must all go searching. But remember, the lions did not find it. Are you with me? I'll show you two things as we advance. God helping us in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus made a lot of strange statements. And I know that the people that heard him did not understand what he was saying. In fact, they felt he was not of this world. For instance, Jesus will come and say, he that loveth his life, he shall lose it. Now, see, if you were there when Jesus spoke those things in the language with which he spoke it, maybe you would have been able to understand. Because he used some words. He that loveth the life of his soul. I hope you understand what the life of the soul means. The life of the soul talks about a consciousness that comes from the soul. All right. The Lord will help us. Since you are doing like this, so let me leave that one. There is a consciousness. That consciousness that comes from the soul, it furnishes a knowledge of me. I don't have time to go to some scriptures, because if we go there, we get lost there. And I want to keep to the manual so that we can get something before we begin to pray and trust God to come down. Hallelujah. No, I can't touch those scriptures. He becomes self-centered and self-seeking. That is a function of the life of the soul. He builds weapons of self-defense, entertainment for self-adornment, work for self-sustenance, and everything that he thinks about is that which will give nourishment to what? So he's operating by that consciousness. And when you marry a man that has a strong soul life, he's conscious of himself, his trouser, his belt, his stockings and his shoe. Let me stop there. It's a consciousness. You can decide to build your world on it. But Jesus knows that if that consciousness is kept on check, you will never grow in the life that brings the consciousness of the kingdom of heaven. And so he needs to do something about that consciousness if you are going to grow in kingdom consciousness. Did you get that? Amen. I wanted to add something, but for the purpose of this lecture, I will not add. To show you how complicated it is for a Christian to live an accurate Christian life, I'm just showing you the challenges. One of the challenges is that he is more experienced in operating by his soul than his spirit. And so even though God is saying, give, another consciousness rises up. And then he gives him an inventory of what will be left in the account. After that, which God is asking him to give, is subtracted. And when he looks at it, and he interpolates, and he extrapolates, and he looks at the calendar, one consciousness conquers. There is always a choice for you to make if it's time for you to either eat of the tree of life or eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That tree of the good of knowledge and evil has deepened the consciousness on the level of the soul. And so the choices that you have to make, even if God speaks to you, there is a contention that comes because there is a consciousness that you have exercised longer than spirit life. That is why the path of spiritual progress is difficult to find. Because the average man that comes to Christ is not willing to give up the perspective of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that speaks through his consciousness of the soul. In order for God to help us out, he did something significant. And that is where our study begins on the path of spiritual progress. It begins in Romans chapter 6. Our inclusion with Christ. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Now, when I'm through with the teaching, I'll give you opportunity for two questions. Early or mid-February, I'll be back. We'll continue again. The elements of the Christian faith or the syllabus of the Christian life. We'll start from number one. By the time we are finished, I will bring some prophecies. Some people prophesied from the soul. You will be able to discern it. I have work to do, but at the end, your discernment should be open. Amen. When you see it and somebody stands and begins to prophesy, you will know where the person is talking from, either from the soul or from the consciousness will reveal it. Do you get it? Hallelujah. Now, so let's go on. Romans chapter 6. So there are 8 points on the path of spiritual progress. We are going to look at the first point. Romans chapter 6. If you are in Romans chapter 6, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, hi God, help me to explain this accurately. In Romans chapter 6 verse 6, there are technical scriptures. Very technical. He said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. He said, knowing this, in the book of Romans chapter 6, there are three times that we are admonished to know things. Romans 6, 6, Romans 6, 9, and Romans 6, 19. Now, the words used in Romans 6, 6 and Romans 6, 9 are different. The word used in Romans chapter 6, verse 6 talks about knowing through your senses, knowing through teaching, knowing through instruction, knowing through education. That's natural knowing. The word used in Romans chapter 6, verse 9 talks about a knowing that is deeper than that which you get from the lecture room. And this knowledge, this knowing, is a function of the operation of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I'm going to break it down, don't worry. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. But if we don't go through this part, it will be difficult for you to understand your Christian life. And when people come with lying wonders, you will not be able to differentiate. When false doctrines begin to rise, you will not have sufficient discernment. So we are going to the root of Christianity so that we can draw a process. Hallelujah. Now, I said that on the first part, the first point of the path of spiritual progress is called the knowing of revelation. Don't forget that. The knowing of what? That's the first part on the path of spiritual progress. And that is a sign of spiritual health. And if the experience of the knowing of revelation is not something that is sustained in your life, you have veered off from the path of spiritual progress. You have joined the fowl. You have joined the vulture. You have joined the lion. And I'm going to explain. Are you with me? Now, in the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 6, the Bible says, knowing this, it is needful for you to be empowered with this knowledge. Are you with me? That knowing in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, is not the knowing that I'm talking about. Because the knowing in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, refers to a knowing that you can acquire in the laboratory, the knowing that you can acquire in the lecture, the knowing that you can acquire when you are taught. Now, so that is, Paul is saying, in order for us to advance in our spiritual life, there is a knowledge that we must receive. First of all, the Bible says that the knowledge is that we need to receive is that our old man was crucified with Christ. We need to break these things down. Our old man. Our old man was what? Crucified. Why was our old man crucified? That the body of sin might what? Might be what? Destroy. He did not say divide, but he said what? Hallelujah. He said the reason why our old man was crucified was so that the body of sin might be destroyed. I'm going to explain that before we move on. Now, you see this thing called old man. There is an easier theological name for it. That is the soul life. It is your operating in that old man or that soul life that makes you operate like Adam. As long as you operate from that consciousness that comes because of the life that is in the soul, that's where you operate from. That's where you take your decisions from. You must have calculated it. You must have looked upon it. You felt it was okay because of your calculations and your what? Your permutations. And you take the option that came out of your intellectual rest. He said that as long as you function that way, you are functioning like Adam. Meanwhile, in the book of Romans, especially when we look into Romans chapter 5, chapter 6, you are going to see two men, two things, two consequences. Somebody say two men, two things that they did. and then two consequences. Now, the two men are Adam and Christ. The two things that Adam rebelled against God and Christ submitted to God. And Christ's submission to God was unto the ultimate demand of submission, which was submission to the point of death. Now, Adam created a race out of his disobedience. Yes, are you with me?
Amen.
And Christ also created a race out of his obedience.
Amen.
Now, so you are either of Adam or of Christ. Now, I need to tell you, because you can be born again and still be of Adam. You are born again, but you don't function from Christ. You function from Adam. And the results you are going to get are the results that Adam got. Adam had separation from God. What I mean by separation from God is not the cessation of life. Separation from God, you are separated from the anointing of God because you function from your soul life. You are not in touch with the resources that God has made available in your spirit, with which he intends to accomplish his agenda in your life. You are drawing from your soul, drawing from your humanity, drawing from the consciousness that your soul life brings. You are actually at par with the operations of God, operating and yielding the results of Adam. Now, so in order for us to be spared from that possibility, God did something that we could not do. What he did was that our old man was crucified. Our soul life was nailed on the cross. The reason why that soul life had to be crucified, brought into death, is to give the spirit life an advantage to grow, so that the path of spiritual progress can be in view. As long as you function from the technology of your soul life, access into spirit life is not in view. Jesus was the one that said, except a grain of wheat falls to the ground and die, it abides alone. I need to explain that. Are you with me? Now, I'm pressed for time, so I can't go into some details. If you people don't know wheat, at least you know rice. So when you harvest rice, rice has what? Husk. Before the real rice inside. Is that not so? And Jesus used that to illustrate the spirit life. That if the corn of wheat does not fall to the ground and die, the grain experiences what we call the abiding alone syndrome. Tell your neighbor, abiding alone syndrome. Jesus did not promise us just life. He promised us abundant life. If you are not operating from the realm of abundant life, you are living short of what Jesus promised. Are you with me? I will explain. Now, the corn of wheat illustration. The corn of wheat illustration. So, this is the husk. And this is a grain. Did you get that? And I hope you know that this illustration that Jesus gave was to give us an insight into the relationship between the soul and the spirit. The husk is the soul, and the grain is the spirit. And so Jesus said, except we release this grain and it falls to the ground, so that the moisture in the earth and the minerals in the earth can react with the husk and kill it. The grain can never spring forth with life. So there's a battle that is here. The battle for the death of the grain. And that's why God says the old man or the soul life was crucified, to give a passageway for the spirit life to germinate, so that the abiding alone syndrome, you can be delivered from it. Now, are you still with me? Now, the challenge is this. The soul covers the spirit totally, because you are used to operating by the soul. If the soul life is still held in place, it will hinder any expression of spirit life. Have you not seen some guys that are born again, but you cannot see it, no evidence of it? Their character doesn't reveal it. Why? The soul covers the reality that the spirit has captured and does not allow it any form of expression. And so Jesus says, except the corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies. It what? The abiding alone syndrome. That means that person's life, Christ cannot move from that person's life to shed his glory through that life on another life. He abides alone. He can't go beyond himself because the self principle is still intact in that life. So that life cannot manifest the glory of God because that life will only manifest the glory of self. You get that? And so Jesus said, he needs to what? Fall to the ground. He needs to die. When that soul life dies, that coat dies, that covering dies, loses its ability to influence, loses its ability to manipulate your decision-making processes, you come to a point where spirit life can now find a room, ventilation sufficient for it to begin to sprout out. Number two, self and sin are in partnership. My ink has finished. That's why I can't write. Self, oh my. Don't worry, I'll get more ink tomorrow. Self and sin are in partnership. As long as you operate by self, you will be struggling with sin. You have empowered sin. Now, I need some scriptures to support my philosophy. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 12, verse 12 to 14, a prophetic story is told about Lucifer. And the question in the prophetic story is,